Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season, you're gonna reap.
Good morning, my name is Gray Bun, and I am 11 years old. You're listening to Free on the Inside, my papa, Diggy Joe Lewis.
Welcome, good morning, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Brother Joel Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you to be all you can be in Christ Jesus. We're in for a great time this morning. I am so excited about our guests this morning. They are no stranger to our show. I like to consider them as being family to our internet program here. And without any further delay, I would like to present to our listening audience the Bishop Jesse Williams and his lovely wife from the Deliverance Center Church from Illinois, Chicago. Please welcome aboard. Thank you. Good morning, Bishop. Good morning, Bishop.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome aboard. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much for having us, Brother Lewis. We're honored, and it's a privilege to be on your show this morning.
I am so excited to have you to be a guest on here on our show once again. You were on here some time ago, and I was very excited about the ministry in which you was involved in and how God was using you to make a difference in the lives of men and women in Chicago, Illinois. Will you please share some more of that with us?
Yes, we are from Chicago, Illinois, Deliverance Center Church. Since you've talked to me last, our church used to be named Yahweh Ministries, but God has changed that name to Deliverance Center Church since the last time you've talked. And we are Deliverance Ministry. We do healing and deliverance. We do jail ministry. We do outreach. We do food giveaways. We do clothing giveaways. We do it all. And we're excited about working in the Inglewood community, which is one of the most impoverished communities in Chicago. And my wife also, she has a ministry called the Woman Within Ministry, in which she births women, homeless women, distraught women, disturbed women. She deals with it all, and we're just glad to be servants in the kingdom.
Oh, that is so true. That's so true. You know, as you were sharing that with our listening audience there, you know, there's a great need for this type of ministry, you know, for men and women to see the hand of God and feel the heart of God to be present in their everyday life there. As here where I am, we deal with jail and prison ministry also, but I have a great heart for the street ministry. Will you please be willing to share some of that with our listening audience?
Well, our street ministry, we go out and we compel men and women to come unto Christ and to accept Christ as a personal Savior. And we once was a part of, you know, that world, you know, dealing in drugs and alcohol, and God delivered us. And so we go and witness to them and let them know that if God can do it for us, He can do it for you.
We go door to door. We witness in the streets. We go in the corners. We go in the street corners, minister to the drug dealers, the alcoholics, the homeless, whoever's available, we minister to them because there's hope for the guttermost up to the uttermost. And so we believe God is able to deliver and save anybody.
You know, that is so true. That is so true. Myself, I've been accustomed to that type of lifestyle, and I know if God could do it for me, He could do it for them. And I share with the young men and women which we meet, if God done it before, He could do it again. And I have a sense that you and your wife is on the front line of the battle to save souls here. And you too can have a testimony that how the Word of God is powerful and effective in the lives of the men and women.
Amen. Amen. Well, we both have a testimony. I'll let my wife give hers first, and then I'll give mine.
God delivered me. I used to, I don't know if most people know about SERP, but I used to be a SERP head, what they called it. And God delivered me. There's a certain area in Chicago called K-Town. And that's where I not only sold drugs, but I did drugs. And so God delivered me from that, and he delivered me from smoking cocaine and tubing dope and smoking weed and cigarettes, and you kind of name it, I did it. And so God, he delivered me and set me free. And so I just can tell people that's struggling, you know, that God is a deliverer. And that he can do the impossible. You might think that he can't bring you out or deliver you, but he can. And he has no respectable person. What he's done for me, he'll do for you.
Amen. I come from a long line of alcoholics. My dad was alcoholic. All of his brothers were alcoholics. All of my cousins grew up alcoholics. And I started out as an alcoholic at the age of 14. And I did drugs. I graduated to drugs. I was a gangbanger, a vice lord. We call them vice lords here in Illinois. And so God delivered me. God delivered me. I had a desire to be delivered. I wanted to break the cycle from my life and break the cycle off of my family. I didn't want to be like everyone else. And I desired to be different. And so I started going to church. And I was going to church and still getting high. But I kept going to church, and I know for a fact it's impossible to come in contact with Jesus and not your life not be changed. And so he changed my life, and I'm here to tell you that there is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can definitely do for you.
Amen, amen. That's a powerful testimony that you two were able to share with us. That's the name of our program, being free on the inside. We have that freedom that comes from, and that liberty that comes from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. And, you know, I, too, have been addicted to drugs and alcohol. I live a crazy lifestyle. I tell other men that with it, that God can change that craziness in our life. We don't have to name it, but we know what it is. And,
absolutely.
You know, and I wanted to share with you, because as y'all minister to men and women, how do you help them to overcome that fear factor? Because as I'm doing a mentoring session here in Dallas, Texas, I encounter men and women say they're scared. They are frightened to death to try to live a normal life because they've been addicted to the craziness so long that they're fearful. How could you give them words of comfort to let them know that God is able to keep them?
Yeah, well, this is what we do. The first thing to becoming delivered and becoming free is to admit that you have a problem. And once that you admit you have a problem, you have to understand in order to get something different, you got to do something different. And so we minister to them through the Word of God and show them in the Word of God where God delivered others. And if God can deliver them and he can deliver us, and so it's just not a Bible story, it's a true story when it comes to our lives. Because we wasn't there then, but we are here now, and we're here to tell you that God is a deliverer. And so if you just be willing to do something different, God will make a difference in your life.
I know that some listeners probably have heard you've got to change your places and things.
Yes.
And that's so true. You cannot linger around the same individuals or be around the same places. You got to change that. You know, you got to get with some people that's going to uphold you and people that's going to hold you accountable for what you're trying to do. And so you just got to get with some people that's going to encourage you and let you know that you can do it and not down you in it. And even if you slip and make a mistake and go back, you know, you got to pick yourself up and you got to be able to minister to yourself and talk to yourself and say, I can do this. You know, I'm strong because God has made me more than a conqueror, and so I can do it.
Yeah. The biggest thing is, I believe, is building them up in the Word of God. Since it's the Word of God that's going to change us. I tell people all the time, we didn't have to go to a 7-step program. We didn't have to go to a 12-step program. We took one step, and that was Jesus.
What? Yeah, it's so true. When you take
that one step and commit to Jesus, his word is better than any 7-step program. And I believe that when you can build them up in the Word and get them to understand the power of the Word of God, then I believe the fear goes, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen, amen. That is so true. That is so true. Both of you hit on some key points there, how we have to continually to build up our brothers and sisters in the Word of God. I do a street ministry along with jail ministry, and we have a teaching session called New Testament Survey, where we study the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we go through each one of the patriarchs that they call the Hall of Faith, you know, how these men and women, they had faith in God, but yet they had problems. They had things that they had to wrestle with, how Noah lived in a wicked and perverse generation. But he wasn't, but he was able to separate himself from those things. And I told him, brother, no matter where you go, whether you're in Dallas or whether you're in Chicago, Illinois, that thing that have you hindered here is going to also be there too. So you have to know how to manage those things.
Absolutely. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take. He comes to steal our joy. He comes to steal our spirit. He comes to kill our joy, and he comes to destroy our soul. And so we have to understand that God said that, but I come that you may have life and have life more abundantly. And I realized that when I was out there in the street, I thought I was living, but I didn't start living until I met you.
You know, Bishop, that is so true. Because during our study period, I shared with the young men about Enoch. You know, they said that Enoch had a life before God. He had a family. He had a responsibility. But after his encounter with God, he walked with God, he had a greater life. And they said that Enoch lived 65 years before he knew Christ, God, and then he lived 300 years. And I told the young men, I said, hey, 65 and 300 is 365 years.
Absolutely.
And that's our calendar year. You know, and we don't share that with y'all, and you could just say amen and echo this here, that we had a life before God, but we had a greater life after our encounter with God.
Yes. Our life with God is freedom. We're free to worship. We're free to praise. You know, when I was in the streets, I had to look over my shoulder. I had to watch my surroundings. I couldn't trust nobody. But now that I'm in Jesus, I'm around people that I can trust. I don't have to look over my shoulder and wonder who's coming behind me. I don't have to worry about when I get home, am I going to fight and struggle with this addiction that I used to have? Because now I'm no longer addicted to what I used to be, but I'm addicted to Jesus. And so now my addiction is, when I get home, I want to get in his presence. I want to be part of him. And so if we get to understand that we can be addicted to Jesus and not to drugs, we have to replace Jesus with the drugs.
Hey, oh, that is so true. That is so true. Now, Bishop, I want to direct this question to your wife, because I see that she have a heart for the women's ministry, and I deal with women on a different level. But, you know, women have very unique and challenges that's different than men's. A woman and a woman of God that's been restored, how could you share with a young lady that doesn't know the power of God, and that God, and that all the things that's available to her, that she don't have to go out and do these things on her own, how she could be encouraged by the Word of God and by having saints that have been through that and been overcomers?
Well, first of all, we have to, like Bishop said earlier, we have to ask him to come into our life and be Lord of our life. We know that Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. And so there has to be some confession that needs to take place, and you have to believe in your heart and to believe unto righteousness. It's a process. It's not going to come overnight, you know, but through the Word of God and through prayer. You have to have a prayer life. You have to have that intimacy with God, you know, and through praying and just kneeling and bowing before him, God will begin to, the things that's in your life that don't need to be in your life, God will begin to remove those things. And you got to first forgive yourself. You cannot continue to condemn yourself. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to keep condemning ourselves about what we did and how we did it and how long we did it. God is not concerned about all of that. All God is concerned about is that you come unto him. He said, come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden I like. And when you begin to realize that God is not holding against you what you did, then you got to forgive yourself. A lot of times we don't forgive ourselves because we feel like we done so much and we done been out so long until God is not going to forgive us. He say, but I'm faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so you just got to know that it's a process. This thing here did not happen overnight for me, but it did happen. And when it happened in the house. You got to make sure that you somewhere where you can be taught the word of God, where you can be encouraged by the word of God, and that people are not going to condemn you and look at you because of the things that you have did.
Amen, amen. That is so true. We pray that that as the young lady's been hearing the gospel as you sharing it, and that they feeling the power and the presence of God in their lives, and that they too been empowered by the word of God, which is able to save a sin-sick soul. Now, Bishop, I would like to address this to you as you have an opportunity to minister to our young men, and our young men are very and they very entrepreneur. Let's put it like this.
Yeah.
They know how to
do
things certain enough. They know how to make things happen, but they're not doing it God's way. How could you, through the word of God, through your own experience, change the hearts and the minds of young men?
Well, young men have to understand that fast money, all money is not good money. And the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's what has happened to our world. We begin to love money more than we love God. And so these young men that are out here on the corner selling drugs and doing what they're doing, entrepreneurship, as you call it, is what they call it, they believe that if I can have money, I can be somebody, and especially our black men. Our black men, because, you know, through slavery, we were always taught to be against one another. We were always taught to fight against one another. We've always thought that if you got money, then you're somebody. So all of our lives, and that cycle has not been broken yet. And because that cycle has not been broken, that's why we're fighting over turfs, and that's why we're shooting up one another, because all of our lives, as slaves and all the way up to now, we've taught to be against ourselves. And so 90% of our homes, well, 85% of our homes have no male figure in the home to show a young man how to be a man. And so as me being a man of God and being a mentor to young men, I try to teach them how to be men, how to work for what you need, how to one day you're going to have a child. And, you know, on these streets, the only thing that's going to happen is three things. One, you're going to get killed. Two, you're going to go to jail. Or three, you're going to get saved. Then the only three options. And so if you don't want jail and you don't want to die early, you need to come to Christ just like you are.
And that is so true. You know, really, I ask you that because I do a juvenile ministry, and it breaks my heart to see the young men. And as I'm sharing with them, a lot of them don't have a male figure in the house. And they ask me, they said, where are the other black men to come down here to talk to us? I see you, and you say you with other people. We don't see nobody. And they get a resentment, and they get hard about that because they say, hey, when I was in jail, you didn't come see me.
when I was
a job, you couldn't help me. And, you know, and things like that, we have to break that cycle. And I'm glad that you shared that with our listening audience.
Yes. Well, the Bible says, Jesus said, when I was in jail, you didn't come visit me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. And so, you know, God has commissioned us to do these things. We have to go see those people. We have to reach out to them just like God reached out to us. The Bible says, let this heart be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so our minds got to change. You got to be renewed in your mind. And so even as Christians, we've got to step up to the plate, because our young men are dying because a lot of us as Christians won't reach out to them. We're afraid of them. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. And if God has compelled you to witness to him, God will protect you in the battle.
And that is so true. That's so, and also the money aspect. That we feel like if we help someone, you know, I'm saying I'm a Christian, I go to church, and I realize that sometimes we feel like we don't want to be obligated with nobody else's burden, and if I'm helping them, we need to be helping ourselves and things of that nature. And it breaks my heart. I go to different churches and I present to the ministry to different people, and they say, well, we don't have the finances or this, and all that is true, but God. if you make a way, God would honor it and bless it.
Well, a lot of times you don't need finances. All you need is the word of God and your mouth.
Okay.
If you just go witness to them, sometimes they just want to hear somebody say, I love you, or give them a real hug, a sincere hug.
That's so
hug.
True. That's so
and
true. And you're right about that.
It's not all about money. It ain't all about having money to be able to do this, to do that. It's about being able to reach people's hearts. What comes from the heart reaches the heart. And when you go out and you minister to these young boys and you hug them and you tell them that I love you for real, I promise you, I love you. Come to my church. I'll show you what love is. I'll show you how to be a man. I'll show you that this ain't the life for you. And I understand what you're trying to do, but this life is not going to get you. And when you minister to their heart, well, see, we're trying to minister to their mind. You can't minister to them. You got to get their heart first. If you can get their heart, then you can get their mind.
Yes, amen, amen. And, you know, and as we're talking about the young people, that's what our show is geared up for, is our young men and women, also street and jail and prison ministry of that nature there. I see our young men that got this persona, they walking around with their clothes hanging down, they bagging. And I share with young men when I have an opportunity to pull your pants up because that reflects you. That's showing that you have a future. You know, that you have plans, you know, that, you know, because I ain't kind of young men, they say, hey, I need a job, and I'm a skilled person, but I always ain't never worked in my skill. And I tell them, I say, hey, sometimes you got to start right where you are. I didn't get here overnight, you know. I swept floors. I cooked and did this and that, you know. A lot of them don't want to just start off things, but a lot of them don't want to take time out for a proper education. And that breaks my heart because I said, what can you do? They said, well, I can't do anything. And
mm-hmm.
so,
yeah. And well, you know, Brother Lewis, these young men, our young men are they're fashion driven, and the average black person, you know, I was listening to a program the other day, and all of the other nationalities call us human money, and they call us that because anything they come out with, we adapt to it because we've always had this problem to where we wanted to fit in and be somebody because we never were nobody because of slavery. It's a slave mentality. And so I was sharing with my congregation, they cut holes in jeans and tell you it's the style, and you go buy jeans for $100 with holes in them. They give us gym shoes with no strings in them and say it's the style, and we wear gym shoes with no strings. They tell us to wear our pants off our butt and buy boxes to match your pants, and we walk around with our pants hanging off our butt. Why? Because we're fashion-driven. Our mind is geared toward this world. The Bible says to be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so when I be talking to the young men and I be talking to the young ladies and my wife be ministering and I be ministering and I taught my people how to minister, and when we go out into the street, we're trying to transform this. We're not trying to change them overnight. We're just trying to get them to see that you can do better and be better than what you are.
Amen, amen. And that is so true. Now, you know, it kind of as you sharing the gospel with people, that they will read you before they read any literature or remember any scripture that you share with them. So they see the realness in you. And they can see your heart and how you're approaching things. It allowed them to say, hey, I want some of that. This must be something to this Jesus they're talking about.
That's right. And, you know, you just have to be real with people. You know, you got to be able to reach people on every level. If they're an executive, you got to be able to reach them on the executive level. If they're a thug, you got to be able to reach them on the thug level. And that's why I thank God that he allowed us. And, you know, me and my wife used to have conversations all the time. I wonder why did we go through the things we went through? Because God knew the ministry he was preparing us for. If I was never in the streets, I would never be able to minister to people in the streets. And so if I never went to college, I would never be able to minister to people that were in college. So he gave me the best of both worlds. He gave me the streets, and he gave me education. So now I can minister to the uttermost and to the guttermost. And so I'm grateful that God chose me as a vessel, chose my wife as to be a vessel to work along in ministry with me, and that we're a dynamic team because we have a heart for souls and a heart for people.
Amen, and that is so true. We have a caller here on the line, and we're going to open it up here and let's see if they like to just give you a word of encouragement and an amen. Good morning, caller. You're on the net. Mr. Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great this morning. We're having a great conversation here with Bishop and Pastor William out of Chicago, Illinois. We're talking about ministry and the effect that ministry have on the lives of our men and women.
Yes, I heard a lot. And I want to ask Bishop Williams a question.
Yes, sir.
When we're talking about the youth, and when you get them to, say, like, when you get them to come to church, do you have church service?
Yes, we have our own youth ministry. We have a youth pastor, and we have people geared to minister directly to their needs and to what they need. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, well, I want to talk about the adoption or either the separation of the different styles that they trying to bring into church in order to be accepted. And I know you see it everywhere now. You see it on TV. You see it on these Stellar Awards shows, and you see a lot. But basically, what's your opinion on music? Do you think that God accepts it, or does He look down on it, or what?
Here's a twofold answer to that, brother. The first thing I want to say to you is that the enemy is trying to paint a picture that anything goes. He's trying to paint a picture that whatever's in the world can be in the church, and it's starting to come into the church. The second thing is, with music, we've gotten away from gospel music, and we've become entertainers. We're not doing it to please God anymore. A lot of them are not doing it to please God anymore. They're doing it to get paid. And that's where the love of money, the root of all evil, comes in. Because now you can't come sing at my church unless I pay you. You can't come do this at my church unless I pay you. You got to talk to my manager about this. You got to talk. Because, see, and you never saw Jesus charge anybody for anything. And so God is not pleased with what's going on. And that's why, and to be real honest, and I'm an honest guy, the church has become a joke to the world. And that's why homosexuality is running wild. That's why this music thing and all this dancing and stuff that's going on in the church. I'm a little old school. We don't do that at our church. I just adapted to some Christian rap. I didn't have it at all, but there are some lyrics that are really good and that we can reach the young people. But I believe that the enemy is painting the picture that everything is good and anything goes. And we are allowing it in the church, and it's corrupting the church more and more.
Amen.
Yeah,
my husband.
Go ahead,
brother.
Ask your wife, what's her opinion?
Yeah. Well, my opinion is my husband stated that we have allowed it to come. It's coming in the church. It's already in the church.
Yeah.
And he makes a statement. He says, "You let in what you is. You know what's really what you really want to do." It's like I saw on Facebook how a first lady is up dancing, and this song called "Happy"
by
Pharrell. They singing it for praise and worship. I don't see no glory in it. You know. I feel that, that we don't have to adapt to the world and what the world is doing, because God has given us gifts and talents, and God has given our own ore. You know, we don't have to, look at the world and desire to do the things of the world or to adapt what they're doing. And so now she's on Facebook gyrating and dancing like she's in a club. You know, like she's in the world, And so that type of thing, you can't draw And what they're doing is they want to draw saying that they drawing the people or drawing the youth. You can't draw the youth by that. You gotta do, he say, except the Father draw them, they ain't coming. And the only way that they're gonna be drawn is through the Word of God, not through no deloshef, not through no, you know, no dancing. And you mentioned what we thought about music. Well, it's a spirit.
Yeah.
It's a spirit, and we know that spirit lingers. We know that spirit lays dormant. And so when you allow that type of spirit to come into your house, or you know, allow your children or your youth to do it, then that spirit just take control.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's a good counsel. Y'all gave me some good answers, and really, I have to really thank for deliverance. God, to be delivered from something, that means you have to be brought away from something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, what you're saying, I like, you want to be delivered from alcoholics, why are you going to hang around a lot of alcoholics?
Exactly.
You know?
Well, the Word of God says that if any man be, and they take the scripture so lightly, but it says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. God will give you newness. He'll give you new things. You don't have to remain the same. And matter of fact, you shouldn't remain the same if you're in Christ.
Can I add something? Do I have time, Brother Lewis?
Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
I want to add this. You know, they do a lot of things to try to draw the youth. But it's one thing to draw them, but it's another thing to get them to be convicted by the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can draw them by the dancing. You can draw them by doing the latest dances and all these steps and all these songs that we do, but you can't keep them. And that's why they come to church and go right back out and do the same thing they're doing, because the Word of God has to change their hearts. It has to change their minds. And until if there's no Word getting in them, then ain't no change going to happen.
That is so true. That's so true. Brother Daniel, thank you for asking those questions there to the bishop and the pastor. And we pray that you got an answer to what you were asking. And I'll ask you to continue to listen to this interview here, because we're getting ready to wrap this interview up and go to our next segment of our program. But, Bishop, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on the program here. And as we wind it down here, I am excited about, you know, how you are continually to share the gospel and continue to encourage the men. What keeps you doing what you do? Because we know that this gets to be taxing and stressful. And, you know, and as you heard our lyrics that said, don't get tired of well-doing. How do keep going and encourage us to keep going?
Well, man of God, I tell you, I keep going because this is a calling for me. This is not a choice. I didn't choose to do this. God called me to do this. And I just want to be in the will of God, and I'm compelled to be in the will of God. I'm compelled to do the work of the ministry, do the work of an evangelist, because your calling is on my life. When I was in the world, I let nothing stop me from going to the club. I let nothing stop me from getting high. I was totally 100% committed to what I was doing. But now that I am in Christ, and I've let go of all of those things, I am 100% committed to him. And whatever he says and wherever he leads, that's where I go.
Amen, amen. I'd like to propose that question to Pastor. Pastor William, will you please share with us what keeps you going?
What keeps me going is the Word of God and his promises. His promises, he say, are yea and amen. And whatever God said, you know, it might not come right away, but you can rest assured whatever he promised, he's gonna deliver. He's going to do what he said. And so that's what keeps me going. What keeps me going is knowing that I serve a true and living God, you know, and that he hears and he answers. And so he lets me know that he's there. You know, he lets me know that he's real. And so that's what keeps me going. True worship keeps me going. you know, getting in the presence of God and feeling his presence, that it keeps me motivated and it keeps me going.
And let me share this with you. Just when you're about to give up, that's when God has sent a testimony.
Yeah.
About how I was strung out on drugs, but I came to this church, and now I'm no longer on drugs, and how I'm an alcoholic, and I no longer drink them, or how I used to smoke cigarettes and smoke blunts, but now, and so every time you're about to give up, God reassures you that you are on the right track,
mm-hmm.
and that he has called you to do this ministry by showing the lives changing in the lives of the people.
Yeah, and so I want to say, Brother Lewis, just continue to look unto him as the author and the finisher of your faith, knowing that God will supply all of your needs and that he's pleased with your ministry, you know, and you reaching out and you helping those that need to be helped, even though some people don't want to hear you. And even though you be rejected, you just keep pressing towards the mark, you know, of a higher calling in him. And so God is going to make resources, you know, and what you have sown out, God is going to allow you to reap back.
Amen, amen. You know, yes, you go right ahead, because we're going to continue with this here, but I want, go right ahead.
Let me give you a word of prophecy, and we're going to let you go to your next segment. I hear the word of the Lord saying that he's going to put you in mainstream radio. He's going to begin to prepare you for mainstream radio because your heart is right. And your heart is for people and for people to change. He said, don't worry about the finances. You know, he understands that it's been a struggle. He said, but you're gaining an audience that want to hear the word of God. And he says he's going to put you in mainstream radio that you'll be able to reach more than just internet people, that you'll be able to reach all the people in Texas and all over this world. And I just want to prophesy that to you, that eyes have not seen and ear have not heard the thing that God has in store for you.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. And, you know, as we was conducting this interview here, I always ask our guests about what keeps them going, because our listening audience need to hear that even though we're sharing the word of God, we have struggles too. We have things that we have to face each and every day. We suffer from
Absolutely.
The same ill as you do. But that's something that's greater than ourselves, and which is Christ Jesus. For the joy that was set before him, he endured some things. And surely we got to go through some things. And, you know, this has been a great interview. I'm on fire for Jesus, and I'm talking to you, too. You know, and because... Because as y'all was sharing, I was just making some notes here, and on my note here, I'm saying that they have a passion for Christ, and you know, and that passion, as you go and share the gospel with other men and women and young boys and girls, they can see that you two are on fire for Jesus, that they know that you have a heart for Jesus. And Bishop, as you said some while ago, that really it really touched me, because as we go out and we talk to as we talk to the men and women, and we have to realize, let them know that they may, that we all have sinned and fallen short. And that's the name of our program, Being Free on the Inside. You know, I've done some crazy things. And then God gave me the freedom to do this. We've been on the air for 3 years now. And I said, God, I don't know how to do this. And God allowed us to be on there for 3 years. And that's that freedom. That's that freedom.
That's right.
And I know that you two have the sense of freedom to go out there and knock on doors, even though people say, no, I don't want to hear this. You know, I got too much to do. But you say, it's okay. I will come back and visit you at a later date, you know.
Absolutely. Because God, when God opens a door, God has ministry there.
Mm-hmm.
When we knock on that door and that person opens that door and gives me the first 1 minute of their time, I know God is in it. I know God is right there, and it's time to minister. And we dive right in, and we get them to confess Christ, and we give them Bibles. We give away Bibles. We don't sell them. At our church, we don't sell nothing.
That's beautiful.
And so, you know, it's the little things that matter.
And you know, as you saying that, we do a Bible drive here and Bible giveaway, and I get so many Bibles that are donated to for the ministry that we just give away Bibles. And one testimony on the Bible, I did juvenile ministry, and a young man in the juvenile center, I gave a Bible, and the little kids, they was looking, said, "What I'm gonna do with this pocket Bible?" I said, "You can put it in your pocket, you can keep your wallet in it." I said, "You keep your girlfriend picture in it."
You know,
I was at the grocery store, and this young man was bagging groceries, and he said, "I know you." I said, "Well, I come in here from time to time." He said, "No, I know you somewhere else." And I said, "Really?" He said, "I was at the juvenile center." And he reached in his back pocket, he pulled out this old beat-up Bible. And he said, "You gave me this Bible." I said, "What?"
Wow.
He said, "Yeah." And he opened it up, and he had some pictures in it. But he said, "Yeah, you told me I could do this, and I got this Bible with me." And I said, "Man, the Word of God is effective and changed the lives of people."
That's right. And so you never know the impact you have on people's lives. That young man is carrying that Bible with hope. He's carrying that Bible with hope that my life is going to change. And
yes.
So by you sowing that into his life, it meant something to him, because somebody probably never gave him anything.
Exactly. And you know, one day, my dream and my desire is this young man sitting up here in his office after he's been successful, and he got this little Bible on his desk, and somebody asked him about this Bible, and he could get him a testimony and say how this Bible is beat up on the outside, but the Word is intact. That used to be me. I was tore up from the floor up, but God restored me from the inside out.
Yes, that's awesome. That is awesome, man of God. That is awesome.
Well, man of God, go right ahead.
No, go ahead, brother.
Now, well, I'm not going to take up any more of your time, and I thank you for being a guest on our program. We know the people are going to be blessed by this portion of our program. You can go back and you can listen to it. It's blogtalkradio.com, Granny's Place, and it's in our archive section, so it'll be on there for the duration of our life here on the Internet. And we want to thank you. You know, we'd have had quite a bit of guests on our program, but you always made an impact on me. But I always thank you. I got you in my favorite on my phone, because I call you from time to time.
Amen.
And I said, "I hate to do this, but you know, God always got you on my mind here, and I constantly have fun memories of you and your wife, because you came on the program, you didn't know anything about me, and you came on and you didn't make no demands, and you didn't do anything. You said whatever it takes, Brother Lewis, and God is pleased with that, and thank you. It's been 3 years because of your faithfulness.
Amen. I want to thank you, and we're honored. We want to thank you for the opportunity. I believe that God, when God gets ready to do something, you have to be willing and accept what God is doing. And I believe in what you're doing. And so, whatever you need us to do here in Chicago to help further your ministry, we're just a phone call away.
Amen. Again, the name of your church and location?
Deliverance Center Church, 5413 South Halsted, Chicago, Illinois, 60609, where we are sold our desire, delivered, and displayed.
Amen. God bless you, God. I'd like for you to close us out in a word of prayer, and then we're going to move into our next segment. And thank you once again. Oh, it's been a blessing. I'm excited. I'm going to go back and listen to this again.
Amen. I'm going to let my wife close us out in prayer. Is that okay?
Yes, that's okay.
Father, we thank you. We honor you. We give you praise. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to come before your people, oh God, and to spread your word and to spread your joy and just to talk about you, oh God. We thank you, Father God, for Brother Lewis, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you continue, Father God, to make way for him, oh God, and we pray, oh God, that you would pave the way for him. God, we just honor you and we thank you. And we thank you, Father God, that we can't do nothing without you. So we thank you, Father, for being in our lives.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Father God, for using us and appointing us, oh God. And we thank you for this day, oh God, because we know that this day is the day that the Lord has made. And you said that we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And so, God, we love you on today. We pray, oh God, that you would continue to order our steps on today, oh God. Help us to be able to witness to somebody that don't know you in the part of their sins. And, God, we just ask for protection, and we love you, and we blow kisses to you in the spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. What a great interview we had. and we'll ask you to please be mindful of our internet program each and every week. So if you have an opportunity, just chime in, give us a call, just say hello, and God bless you, and you have a great weekend.
You too now, Brother Lewis, and God bless you, listening audience.
Amen. God bless you. Oh, what a great interview that we had there with Bishop and Pastor Williams out of Chicago, Illinois. They was truly been an inspiring guest. I enjoyed them being on the program. This is their second time on our program. And as we call them up, they always are eager to come on board and share what the goodness of God to our listening audience. And I've been encouraged. You know, I love ministry. I love to hear the testimonies that are being presented, how the word of God is effective in changing the lives of men and women. If we do ministry, sometimes we don't see the power of God. Sometimes we just don't feel the presence of God. But God is constantly revealing himself. He's constantly showing that his word is effective and able to change the lives of people. And we have Brother Daniels on the line here, and we're going to bring Brother Daniels in. He's going to share some things with us. Hey, Brother Daniel.
Hey, Deacon Lewis.
Yeah, man. Hey, man. Thank you for being a guest host on the program, man. I ain't going to say guest host, but being a host on the program. And, man, what a great interview we had.
Yeah, man. Some powerful people.
Yeah, there's powerful people out of Chicago.
Listening, man, about how we're just talking about how Chicago, man, it's so full of violence and hate and fighting and arguing and killing, man. And I mean, God, I know you have to be some powerful people, man, to really exist and really to have a ministry, man, in a town like that that's so full of corruption and sin, you know.
That sounds like Dallas, man. Dallas ain't no different. You know, we grew up on the main streets of Dallas, man, so we know how it go. Man, but God's word is powerful, though, brother. Now, Brother Daniel, yeah. you've been around the fire for so long. What keeps you doing what you do?
Well, basically, it's a drive that's inside you, baby. That when you wake up in the morning, you just ask yourself, What can I do to change things, you know? Everybody has a drive inside them, you know, or some kind of desire that you want to see, man, you know, whether I want to go backward or do I want to go forward, or do I want to, you know, live this day to day like I did yesterday, or do I want to make a change today in somebody's life? So basically, I just put the cross and, man, I want to try to change somebody's life. I want somebody to remember me, just like you were talking about how that little boy had that Bible in his pocket. You know, he remembered you. He remembered what you did for him. You know, and then, you know, they figured, man, somebody care about me. Well, maybe what they saying and what they drilling into my head every day, maybe it is right, you know. And so that gives them motivation, give people motivation to live. Now, you know, what's been happening, you know, lately, I've been walking around, going to department stores, and I go around and I'll be looking at the faces of people today. And when you look at them, man, the faces of our youth, and most of them, not only youth, older people, man, they lead, you know, have a look of they don't know what's going to come next. You know, really, they don't really know whether to talk to somebody or greet somebody. You want to say hello to somebody, they get real offended, you know. Really, you know, it's just that there's a look of unrest on their face. And really, maybe that's what I was talking about. That's searching. They're searching for something, you know. That drive is in them, too, but they don't see it because, you know, the voice that they're supposed to be hearing, they're not heeding to. That's the voice of God. He talks to everybody.
Yeah.
Left up to you whether you want to hear it. And basically, that's what drives me every day, Deacon Lewis.
Oh, that's a powerful that, man. And you know what? That's the thing that I think drives a lot of us, Rick. And Rena adds that too, man, because we realize that this Christian journey that we on, it's get to be challenging sometimes, man. I meet people that's struggling, and I'm struggling. And here I am, I'm struggling, but I'm encouraging you to keep struggling too. And I have the same faults and fears and discomforts that everyone else has. You know, I was talking to a young man. I do a mentoring session, and this young man was sharing with me along with his counselor that this young man was scared. He was living in a shelter. He was in a drug recovery program, but he turned down a job because he said he was scared. He was scared of the consequences that he have to endure or faces as he get a check and as he start trying to be a functioning person in society. And I said, brother, that's our stuff we all faces, you know? Ricky, have you ever been scared of something, man? Going on a new job or taking on a new status in life? Have you ever been scared?
Amen, brother. I'm glad you're talking about that because I'm reading a book right now that's teaching you about God. Basically, it's a sin to worry. And number one, God does not give you the spirit of fear.
Yeah,
and the two,
but we get it though,
cause
we human. But we get it, but we shouldn't dwell on those things. You know, yeah, you're gonna be scared, but
you know,
God is greater than anything we ever face.
Yeah, amen.
And you know, Brother Daniels, a long time ago, I was between jobs and I was going to the unemployment office, and that back then when they actually would talk to you and suggest you do things. And this this agent suggested me volunteering, and he gave me a list of people to go volunteer. And I went and volunteered for an organization that was dealing with the needs of homeless people. But before they send you on the street, they gave you a little orientation, and it was called managing your discomfort. Because when you go around people that's homeless, you have it's a sense of fear. There's a sense of catching a dread disease or being assaulted. So they say, hey, this is how you go about managing your. And I learned to turn that over to the Bible equation, man. Well, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And he will never put no more on us than we can bear. How to manage your discomforts is through the word of God, man.
Amen.
You know what
Amen.
I mean? Because we all, man, I'm scared.
About.
You know, I go before people, but I talk to a lot of people, man. I'm scared to death sometimes. You know, not as much as I used to be. I go down to the jail. I share with guys, and these are different guys every week, man. I'm talking to somebody different. It's always the same, but it's going to be several people that is different. I go to the street ministry. That's going to be different people there. I go to churches. That'll be different people, man, and that's a fear factor. And, I'm telling you a secret, brother. I'm more scared of church people than I am of sinners, man. Because church people tell you, I got God on my side, and they be cussing and fussing. That's just between me and you and the listening world, man, you know, because we on the internet. But I am, you know. But I am, man.
Here's the difference between fear and faith. Faith is a reaction from the heart based on something God had said, whereas fear or worry is a reaction from the mind or emotion based on something you, your circumstances, or the devil has said. So it's a fear that you, fear is something that you worrying about what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
You sit up all night and worry about it and look at it and think, what's going to happen? It's going to happen anyway. You know?
Yeah.
No matter where you sit down and, you know, it's going to happen. You know, but you got to have God in behind your life every day.
You know, and so, you know, Ricky, I mentored a young man that was he was debating on should he go to the service or not, and he was, and one of the things came up that he could get killed, that he could die. I said, brother, you could die here. You could look on the TV anytime, day or night, and you see what little kids are getting killed, adults are getting killed. People go to the grocery store and they're getting robbed, and some, you know, you get killed in there, or you get killed by a drive by, or you get killed by a drunken driver. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have to just.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm not going to go because I'm going to die. Like I say, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen anyway. But you can know that you're in the hand of the master, man. You're in God's hand.
Yeah, he's the one controlling your life. He gave you life.
Yeah. in anything that we face. Sometimes if it's our time, it's our time, you know. But we have, but we should have an assurance that if our time do come, that we have a relationship with God, that he can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, and call us into glory. And so that's a fear factor in anything that we do. And, you know, and I got a email, a text from a young lady that was a guest on the show, Miss Vera Squire. And she shared with me how she was writing books and how she was scared at first, but she got her book published. And not only one book, but she has several books published. And then she said, hey, I have a couple of videos on YouTube. And we're going to try to get her to be a guest on here if time permits it. But I want her to share with us how God has continued to bless her and how she was able to overcome her fears to be successful in Christ Jesus, not the success that comes from man. That's what people tell you, hey, you ain't good enough. They tell you ain't worthy. But the success that comes from God that said, well done. Even when the world said no, God said yes. You know, Brother Daniel Costa, you've been a musician your whole life. And some people love you and some people hate you, right?
Yeah, some people got good things to say about you, some people got bad things to have to say.
Let tell me, just me. Have you ever been somewhere where somebody said they don't want you to play no more as a musician?
Basically.
And have you been to places basically that people said, "Hey, you could play anytime you around. You could just always come and play for us."
Yeah, that's comfort. You can't please everybody.
Yeah, it works both ways. Yeah.
Some people for you, and some people against you. And sometimes that's the favor of God that's inside of it, sent you to this place where people really accept what you're doing. And sometimes, even being a minister, it works like that too. Sometimes, you know, some people, they say they in the Word of God, and then some people don't really fight between you because they sometimes say, "Mary, well, maybe your message is not ready, or you not ready, or it's something you just have to." You just have to keep going on.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I enjoy the bishop and the Pastor Williams to come on here and to share, their testimony and their ministry with us. And that's what our show is all about, man. It's just that freedom, brother. That freedom, that being free on the inside. To let us know, yes, we made some mistakes. Yeah, we fall short. But yet we was overcomers. We were victorious in some things, man. And you know what? That sense of freedom allows you to keep doing what you're doing. Because now you done started another phase of your life. And so it takes some adjustment. And it gets fearful sometimes, don't it?
Yeah.
You
know, like I was me and my wife, we were getting ready to go. We were ready to go last night to another conference over here at this place called Christ for the Nation. And she asked me, she looked at, what's wrong? I said, man, I'm getting kind of shaky because sometimes when you go around different ministries, It's a spiritual thing that happens between when you go around different ministers, because the praise and worship teams and the different anointing of different people put together, there's going to be a struggle part, because the enemy basically, he doesn't want everybody to get together anyway.
Yeah, so right.
So basically what he does, he's throwing this sense of fear and confusion in the works before you even get in the door, the auditor before everybody that's being there going to different places. You know, just like I call it Tower of Babel syndrome. You know how God confused everybody's language and so they couldn't understand each other. So basically that's why most times when you get in a church, before you start a service off, you looked at everybody's mostly got everything they brought from outside inside the church.
Yeah. Hey, Brother Danny, we're getting ready to get out of here. We got 30 seconds. We're getting ready to.
That's why sometimes you really have to pray in order to get this spirit up on them.
Yeah. And we're going to pick this up at a later date, man, because that's a powerful little old segment there. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to having you to be a guest on the show next week, okay?
All right.
All right. And God bless you, man. I tell you what, stay in carry, stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might, man. Make a difference in someone's life. We like to say, help change a life in Jesus' name. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today.
Amen.
We thank you for your grace and your mercy that surpassed us. We thank you for the guests that were on the show this morning, dear Lord, how they made themselves available to share the gospel with the men and women, dear Lord, on this internet program, dear Lord. We pray that what they said, dear Lord, touches the lives of men and women, that they too can make a difference to the lives of men and women in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, we pray for the guest of Brother Daniels, dear Lord. We pray for our listening audience, dear Lord. We pray that all things are well until we come back again. We pray these in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.